Hello, anybody out there? So shameful, but do you know what? I've just on a whim decided to come back. No script, no edits, just me taking a break from mum life, as I am now a mum of two. Yay! This is where I would put like the clapping and cheering sound effects. Woohoo! Yeah! Mum of two. Yes, that's right. I've just had a baby. And he's nearly 4 months. Can I say he's still a newborn? Yes, he is a newborn. He is a newborn still. I had an emergency C-section, which I will go into another time. I'll update you on my birthing story. But yeah, I'm now a mother too. I have a 5-year-old. How did that happen? It's like I sneezed, or I blinked, or I don't know, like 1 minute he was a baby and now he's 5 years old. And I have 4 months, 2 boys. I'm a boy mum. Two babies. Logan is still my baby. He's 5. He's still my 5-year-old baby. Even when he's like 46, he's still my baby. Okay? So, yes. Welcome back. And I'm sorry it's been a while. I mean, I don't know who's listening or, you know, but this was something that I started because when I was pregnant with Logan, I enjoyed podcasts and I still do. And it was something that kept me going and entertained during my time at home as a new mum. Got me through tough times. It made me happy. And just listening to other people's stories, and it felt like I wasn't alone. Moving to a new area away from most of my family and friends, to have something to listen to fill my soul, fill me with joy, something I can relate to, specifically when I hear other mums speak or other creatives speak, it just made me feel less alone and just made my days happy. So hence why I started my own podcast, because I felt like I had a lot to say. I spoke a lot to myself and still do speak a lot to myself. And I am literally the queen of voice notes, so why not just have a one-stop shop for voice notes and talk to myself and whoever wants to listen. So hi. And I've just been distant. I've not been consistent, and I feel like I haven't been very consistent with many things. But why do I stop doing things that I enjoy? And I'm just speaking as I'm thinking. Just other things come into just life. Life has been lifing, and in a good way. Obviously, there's been tough times, yeah. There's been downs, but mainly ups. And I like to lean into positive parts of my day, the joyful parts of my day, joyful parts of life. And I'm human. I have emotions, but I don't like to stay in the negative. I don't like to stay in my sadness, if you know what I mean. And podcasting, to be a podcaster, can I call myself that? With this podcast, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a podcaster. It made me feel good that I'm just talking and maybe somebody, you know, is listening and I'm filling their life with joy and happiness, or they can relate or find my stories funny or my topics interesting or something that they can start a conversation about. And, you know, I like to talk about things that matter. And you know, I am back, and the Lysia Show is back, and I'm thinking about taking it on screen, but I'm going to have to call it a different name. But I'll keep the Lysia Show podcast name here for now. But I wonder what I'll call. Basically, I want to start a YouTube channel. Well, I will start a YouTube channel, I will start a YouTube channel that basically follows my life, my journey as a mother of now two, and also the healing process, my well-being, and what I'm doing, you know, at home, wellness wise, and also leaning into motherhood and trying not to fret about things surrounding it, such as career, such as finances, such as new relationships. You know, who am I? Alicia Wilkins, who am I now? And, you know, your life is up and down, ever changing. Hopefully, change is good. So it's, I feel like, yeah, I can't cover everything in the podcast, and I obviously can't cover everything on screen as well, but at least you've got the visual and the audio, or maybe the same thing, but one you can see me and one you could hear me. I don't know, but just changing direction with this podcast, but also promising myself that I need to be consistent with this. So if you are still listening after 6 minutes and 12 seconds, hi, thank you very much, welcome back, and thank you for supporting me, and thank you for being patient with me. And you know, I may reach only one person, but that person is, you know, a lot. It's a big deal that you've taken your time to listen to my voice, listen to me rant, listen to me not know what I'm talking about. And who knows where this will take me. It could start from 1 to 10 to 100 to 1,000 to 10,000. I don't know. So welcome to the Alicia Show, where I think the direction of this show would be motherhood, my motherhood journey. Eventually I want to talk to guests, have guests, speak to guests, and just anybody who can relate to my story, or just speak to people who inspire me, or talk about things that have inspired me, talk about funny stories, things that happened in my day. I swear my life is like a cartoon. Something funny happens to me every single day. You know, having 2 children, there's always funny moments, and I've written a few down. Yeah, I'm a writer, so I write things down. And that's another thing that I need to break the barriers of my own kind of... I'm holding myself back from things. And yeah, writing is one of my passions that, yeah, I just want to be more consistent with. I just really go for it. You know, I'm a singer, I'm a PT, I'm a former teacher, I'm an early years educator. I no longer have my nursery. I don't know if you knew about that. I started to set up a nursery, but due to unforeseen circumstances, I no longer am a tiny leader, and I no longer have a nursery. It just wasn't conducive to my lifestyle, and let's be real, I just wanted a bigger premises, and when life is lifing, I just couldn't run a nursery from my home environment. Basically, tiny childminding is, you know, you set up your own business from home, have your own nursery at home, and I've done a lot of marketing with them, and I think Tiny is amazing. So if you want to, you know, explore childminding, or book childminding services for your children, I definitely look into Tiny and what they have to offer, because they're only select the creme de la creme of childminders. But with saying that, there are amazing childminders not linked to Tiny, but from my experience, the training that I received was just top notch, because it actually combined teacher training, early years education training, with childcare. So yeah, and then obviously you had to, well, it's not obvious, I'm telling you, like, you go through the process of where they select, you know, you to be a tiny child. Anyway, why am I promoting child tiny? If you consider a child to be a childminder or childcare, look into Tiny, T-I-N-E-Y, and done enough marketing for Tiny. But yeah, I'm no longer a tiny childminder early years educator. However, I'm still somebody who I'm still an ambassador. I will still promote Tiny. I think Tiny has been amazing to me. We've worked well together, but you know, sometimes you just gotta part ways, even if you've had a good run, even if you've got a good relationship. When stuff is not working for you, it's okay to move on, and that's what I'm doing. And you know, I've acquired the skills, I've acquired the knowledge, I've actually utilized my skills within that, and I'm leaning into something else now, which is motherhood. As you know, or if you may not know, having a newborn is 24/7, like you're on autopilot because you're not sleeping. You're in a new flow with a newborn. I'm breastfeeding, so I'm literally like food on legs. You know, any minute now he could wake up. Currently my partner is holding him. You know, I just knock off. I literally unloaded the washing machine. I thought, hey, I'm inspired, let me go and make a podcast. I'm sat on my bed in my bedroom, door is shut, slightly ajar, so they probably can hear me. In a minute Logan's probably going to complain about his vegan sausages being too cold, or his game. He's on the screen right now whilst he's eating. Look, he's had a long day. Sometimes 5-year-olds just need to chill out with a screen, yeah. And yeah, anyway, but I find when I just disappear, they always find me. They always like look at me like the house is going to crumble without mummy around. Even if it's just, they just want to see my face. I'm literally sat in my bed, one leg half on, the other half on the floor, ready if they need me. But you know what, ladies, mums, we need our time. We really do need our time. I'm using my time wisely. I'm using my time productively by doing my podcast. This is what I've been wanting to do, meaning to do, and saying to myself, I just haven't got the time. Anyway, I don't know who's still listening at 12 minutes 16, but hey, if you are still listening, can you do me a big favour? Can you DM me and say, I've listened? Or if you know my number, can you WhatsApp me, I've listened? Or can you message me, email me, contact me, and let me know if you've listened? And what do you think I should talk about? What topic should I discuss? Would you like to be a guest on my show? I can make you a nice cup of tea. Maybe you could come round. I can meet you outside. Maybe we can have a coffee. Maybe we'll go for a drive. Maybe this can turn into some James Corden situation where we're in the car driving around, I don't know, chatting. Let me know. I'd love to hear from mums at home, mums who are out working outside of the home, because even if you are at home, you are still working. So if you're working inside the home, you're working outside the home. If you're working from home on your business or working in your career, you know what I mean? If you have a career where you work from home, let me know. If you have your own business and you work from home, let me know. If you are at home working from home, at home mum working from home, that is still a job. Full stop. Period, as they say. That's still a job. Let me know. Fellow creatives, anybody who wants to talk to me. I'm inspired by so many people. You know what, I've been listening to lots of people, like business minded people, entrepreneurs, and the mindset of entrepreneurs, and I just love it. I just love discipline. I love athletes as well. I just love the discipline of athletes and anybody who has some kind of routine, because something that I aspire to have. It's a bit difficult with, this is not even an excuse, this is real life. It's hard to have a routine with a newborn and a 5-year-old where your nights are unpredictable. But as I become more in a flow with navigating life with 2 children, you know, I do want to wake up at a set time and do this, da, 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 da. One thing I have started to do is journal more. That has helped. And also just learning to accept that it's okay to have moments by myself, and not guilty, but I'm still learning the whole, I feel like I'm doing the most and I'm tired. And as I mentioned before, I had emergency C-section not even that long ago, and I still feel like I was doing the most and not recovering, and therefore probably hindering my recovery, because I'm the type of person that I just want to get everything done right away, and I feel lost and like, I'm like, oh, who am I? The goddamn sugar. You know that was in your mind. But anyway, who am I? I thought that, you know, who am I? I've lost myself. And I haven't lost myself. I'm still here. I'm a mum of two. I'm leaning into that. That's the key word. Words. Leaning in to motherhood. And it's okay. I need to keep telling myself it's okay that there's a pile on the toddler bed of clothes that need to be put away. There's also a dumping chair, which I've noticed other mums that I speak to on FaceTime have the dumping chair in the background. So I thought it was just me, the dumping chair. The dumping chair didn't really exist with one child, but it now does with two, because I swear I'm washing every day and then I haven't got the time to put away. And then there's all these things like, do I ask for help? Yes, I do need to ask for help. Do I need to perhaps hire a cleaning person, or yeah, just some to take one job away from me so that I've got time to focus on other things, such as not doing anything and the beauty of sleeping. Okay, sleep is so underrated, and it's such a necessity for growth, for your mind, for your energy, for your skin, for your mood. Like, so many benefits. And I simply aren't getting enough, but perhaps I just need to ask for help. And I have a fantastic support system. Anyway, where's this going? Wow, 17 minutes. Thanks for listening. I think I'm going to end it here. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you again next time. You'll hear from me very, very soon. So if you've reached this far, message me. I made it, or I've listened. And thank you so much for listening. I've forgotten how I sign out this thing, so I'm just gonna say, from what I remember, I say besos. Going on like I'm fluent in Spanish when I know like the basic things, but I think it's such a beautiful language. Oh, by the way, if you care, probably don't care, but I've started learning French, and I started 2 years ago. Wow, that's how long it's been since I was taken to. Shame, that's really bad. Did I start 2 years ago? No, like a year and a half ago. Yeah, so I'm on day 400 and something, 460 or something. Anyway, that's one thing I do for me every night. And I think I'm quite good at it. Oh, I hear my baby crying. Okay, I've got to go. Besos, thanks for listening. Love you lots. And I really appreciate you. And, wow, can you hear my baby crying? Look, listen. Soon I'm going to hear the words, mommy. The words, mommy. Gotta go. Thanks for listening. Why not whisper? And breathe. Say this is now episode 2, because I feel like, well, I've been away for so long, and I recorded an episode last week. I feel like it's like a new chapter, renewed, rejuvenated Alicia, a new me, now that I'm a mum or two. Currently I'm sat on the sofa with my 4-monther, he's officially 4 months now, on my chest. So if you can hear the cute little snores, it's because he's on my chest right now, and I'm just seizing the opportunity to do something for me, and, you know, keep up my consistency with my goals. I have many goals, and this is one of them, you know, to keep up with my podcast, to let you know my thoughts and feelings, spread joy, because I've had feedback from my friends that say that they enjoy listening to my podcast because it just brings a smile, and they listen to it on their way to work, or they listen to it in the car, or, you know, when they're just doing their daily tasks. And you know what, that brought so much joy to me that I'm able to do that for someone, even if there's only one person listening, or two people, or under 100, whatever. It's resonated with somebody, and that somebody has come back to listen to what I have to say. And, you know, often there isn't a script. I'm just speaking, and maybe that person just wants to zone out. Maybe that person just, you know, they just relate to what's happening in my life, or they just want an insight into what's happening in my life because their life is so different. Everyone's life is different, but do you know what I mean? Like, not everybody that listens to me is a mum. Not everyone that listens to me is female. And you know what's interesting? I can actually see the analytics, and it's just amazing. I find it so, it's just, okay, like the power of technology. I can see who's listening, the demographic of people. So I know what country is the most popular, what countries people are from who listen to, have listened to me, or who are listening to me in my new, I don't know, can I say it's not a new channel because it's been around for 2 years. I've just haven't been consistent, but I could, because of the analytics, I could see who's listening, and it's just amazing. I can't see specifically who, but I can see what age range, whether it's predominantly female listeners, and the age range is like split quite closely, from 28 year olds to 48 year olds, and a quite high number of over 60s. So yeah, that's interesting. And I think maybe it's because it's, do I call this a mum podcast? I don't know. But yeah, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to my podcast, The Alicia Show. I'm Alicia, and this is my show. Hey, I should use that. I should start using that. So I've jumped on here, like I said, because I've got an opportunity to speak without being interrupted. Maybe he's literally napping on me. I'm holding him in one arm and my device in the other to record this. Sat in my lounge, you can hear the birds chirping away. It's a beautiful day. It's very, very hot. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to live in such a lovely building. The sun is coming through the large patio window doors. It's peaceful. You know, my son is at school. My 5-year-old is at school. I had YouTube on, I just had a beautiful cup of coffee, my child did nap, my baby did nap on the bed, but now he wants to be on my chest, and perhaps this is a sign to slow down and just reconnect with what, you know, my heart desires, which is to do a podcast, and still lean into motherhood, which looks like, right now, whatever's keeping him happy. Well, all the time, whatever keeps my children happy, I'm going to continue to do it. So right now, he's happy to be on my chest. So he will remain on my chest during this podcast. So how are you? I was about to say, how are you? How are we? I watched this lovely YouTuber called Fumi de Salavoid. I hope I've said her name right. Fumi. I'm part of the Fumi Nation. And she's on YouTube. And she's just a daily dose of joy, and she is a mummy who, she is just like a walking testimony. She had her child in her late 40s, a successful YouTuber who's grown her channel. She talks about everything, and I see her as like the next Oprah, or she's in her own rights, like she is, you know, she's just amazing. And it's funny how you resonate with people who perhaps you are inspired by, or you just relate to people. And I relate to her as being a mama again, and also, you know,
parts of her life. Obviously, I don't know anything about her life. We don't know everything about anybody else's life. Parts of her life I aspire to be like, or I'm inspired by her. So, for example, you know, to be fit and healthy in my 50s, when I get to my 50s, if God, you know, blesses me with, you know, a long life and I'm able to reach 50, I'm grateful for where I am, because there's a lot of people that haven't made it, you know, past 30. And, you know, she's turned her life around, you know. I'm just like, I don't know, just tune into YouTube and you'll see. Like, it's never too late to start anything. She started her YouTube channel in her early 50s. Well, she's, I think she's 54. She started in her late 40s, sorry. And it's just an example of you could be whoever you want to be. You can start whenever you're ready to start. And the divine timing is divine timing. You know, she started her channel with just, you know, her thoughts and feelings, and it's kind of, she just carved out her own journey, and that's an example that we should all be doing. And I feel I'm very inspired by just carving out your journey. You may not know, you know, the destination, if that's right, but you know that you're gonna move ahead. You're just gonna take the first steps and just go for it. Look ahead, look up, and, you know, enjoy the journey. And maybe there isn't a destination, because during the journey there's many destinations to experience, if that makes sense. I know what I'm talking about. Basically, there's no final destination, but there's the joy of the many destinations before you kind of have that ideal. So, for example, if your destination is to have a YouTube channel, but you don't know what the YouTube channel is about, you just start it, look forward, enjoy whatever topic you discuss, and along the way you'll pick up skills such as editing, lighting, what equipment. You will progress in your equipment, you will progress in your lighting, your setup. You will meet like-minded people because you are vibrating with that same energy. You know, you will find your flow, you will gain confidence. And what, in 6 months' time, you'll look back and be like, hey, you know what, I've come a long way in 6 months. And if I hadn't started, I wouldn't have come to this point now. And you look back 2 years' time, look at your videos and be like, wow, I look so much better now, I'm in such a better position. Wow, I finally, you know, I'm finally in that relationship. I'm finally in that circle. I'm radiating at this energy that I've never had before. And just because I'm older doesn't mean that, you know, I'm less than, or I'm competing with the youngers, when I'm actually in my own lane and now people are looking up to me and now I'm the example. That's just a long-winded example, but that's the, you know, and you're still, you've found your niche in your YouTube channel. But from that niche, you've branched out to other niches, because perhaps what started off with a motherhood YouTube channel in your mind has now become like a financial advice channel. It may turned into a fashion channel, from, you know, saving money on clothes and then getting creative from your wardrobe, and now you inspired other people who now want to know where you shop, or how do you save money shopping. And you're invited on podcasts, on TV shows, and then you've become that person, that expert in that field. And it's all started because you just took that first step and was like, you know what, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. Don't know where the destination is going, but I'm just going to enjoy myself and just do it anyway. Face my fear and do it anyway. That's actually a very good book to read. So today, well, recently, I feel like I've been leaning into my divine feminine energy. I've been watching lots of channels on it and just kind of refreshing that. Like, lots of people do tell me that I'm very feminine, and that how do I do it? Like, you make motherhood look so effortless. You walk with such ease in this season that you're in. I mean, this season is going to be forever now, and I'm so grateful that I'm forever going to be a mum. But what it is that I may make it look stress-free, or because I'm just so happy as a mum. Perhaps other people, they're like, oh wow, you make it look easy. But like, I am fulfilled with being a mum, and I work with divine feminine energy and finding the joy in everything that I do. But I'm only human, and I do have days where I'm just like, wow, I'm struggling today. My mental health is struggling. I have mum guilt sometimes, or am I not doing enough, or, you know, I don't know how to act sometimes when, say, if my son, you know, gets into trouble at school. You know, we talk through the issue, and, you know, is that enough, or have I failed because he should have known better? For example, he squeezed a little girl's hand, and that's a serious thing. You know, kind, we teach kind hands, and they teach that at school. So why is my child doing that? You know, and what's ironic in this is that he's actually achieving the kindness award on Thursday, and he was supposed to receive it last week, but they postponed it till this week. And in between that time, he squeezed somebody's hand and hurt them. And I felt disappointed, like, my kind little boy, why is he doing this, you know? And then it trickles down to me, like, what am I doing? Am I still teaching him kindness? Like, am I still an example? Because obviously I'm kind in the home. We don't raise our hands to our children. We don't raise our hand to each other. We don't hit people, you know? And we talk through our problems, and we're patient, and this and that. And I know it's part of his learning, and it's part of any child's development to learn from their mistakes. But you know what I'm saying? This is just an example of like how I may make it look effortless, but I still have those daily struggles where I feel like I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing enough, or mum guilt, so on and so forth. However, I still got control of how I lean into this divine feminine energy, and what I'm getting. I feel like I'm already quite good at it, but I'm getting better at it, is treating myself like my own best friend. So, you know, all the time, but especially on the days where I'm feeling like down, I'm feeling low, I'm feeling not worthy, this and that. So treating myself like my own best friend and leaning into my divine feminine energy. It's already quite easy to lean into divine feminine energy because I am a mum, and I feel that is definitely my purpose. And I've attracted, you know, my relationship, I've attracted family life, I've attracted, you know, I've attracted everything into my life, but specifically the ones that are very important to me. I've maintained it, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel happiest when I'm, oh, I know, when I'm being mum, when I'm cooking for like my family, like when I'm looking after my family, when I see my children happy. But it does start with me, and you know, I need to be making myself happy, otherwise I can't be a happy mum for the boys. So treating myself like my own best friend and leaning into my divine femininity. So clothes don't fit, most of them don't fit, my shape has changed. I had a health scare this week, which means that I need to watch what I eat, and it all trickles down to, oh my gosh, I should know better, because I'm actually a certified personal trainer and pre and postnatal exercise specialist. You know, I've had a qualification with exercise to music with my fitness business I've had for over 10 years. And yeah, you know, I just had a baby, so you know, my body has done an amazing thing, and it's in still doing amazing things, such as breathing, producing milk, keeping my baby alive. But the health scare was like, right, I really need to change like my habits, and I'm gonna go for a repeat checkup of, you know, things happening in my body. And as you know, I've spoken about the lupus assessment as well. You know, I'm not defined as having lupus, but I'm still under investigation, and what's come up is actually linked to that. So even though I'm feeling well in myself, I feel well, I feel tired obviously because I've got a newborn, but what's come up is linked to, you know, the whole lupus thing. It's borderline high what's come up, and you know, I also have low platelets, they've discovered, so potentially anemic again. But what they've only told me as a precaution, and I feel like I've been given like another chance of life, if you know what I mean, because what they found isn't something to do with my liver and my kidneys, but what they found is borderline high, yeah, high and borderline high risk, but not anything of a concern yet until they do further investigation. And when they do further investigation, it's not, they suspect it's not anything to worry about, but it's something that they find that is not normal. And my mindset, you know, my human response is, oh my gosh, am I not well? But my mindset was, I am well, and what can I do about it? For you know, how can I reverse these findings? What can I do to live better? And you know, just be positive and be grateful that, one, I live in a country where we have the NHS and we have these services available, where, you know, they found something and then they can investigate further, and that I've been looked after, and they've put me in touch with a dietitian, a therapist, and like a weight management team, and also somebody who can help me with you know, weight loss, because it's all to do with that. And because I had a C-section, an emergency C-section, I have been inactive, therefore I've put on the weight, and although it's not excessive, I still put on the weight. And rather than focus on the aesthetic, it's about the pressure and potential damage that excess fat can cause, and you know, and in the long run, what damage that could actually, how that can affect my life. So these measures are being taken place so that I don't get to that place in a couple of years where I can't reverse whatever they found, or I will continue to gain weight and it'll affect my joints and this and that. And like I said, it's not about aesthetics, it's about my body feeling a strong, being healthy, being my best, and what can I do about it, and how can I take control of that. So my own best friend, eating the best foods, like, you know, no longer am I going to be saying, right, I'm going to treat myself to this takeaway. That's not actually a treat, you know. You can treat yourself as in to be like, oh, I like the way this tastes, so I'm just going to have a little something, like a cheeky little cake. But to have like a day of, or days of binging on something that's actually not good for your insides, it's not good for your health, that's not actually a treat. So you know, when you have your best friends come round, you have the best foods, don't you? So that's how my mindset is. I'm treating myself like my own best friend, leaning into my divine feminine energy, my divine feminine energy being a mum. How do I nourish my children? Do I feed my children cake and give them chocolate every day? Do I give them like sugar, like in their, extra sugar in their drinks? Extra salt? Do I cook with butter and all them things there? No, it's about the freshness. It's, you know, when they eat the food, say they, Logan, the baby's not eating yet, he's drinking milk, but like when he eats the strawberries and he eats the avocado and he eats all the fresh goodness, he knows about these nice things, and it fills me with so much joy that he knows about avocados and that, and the best bread, and he asks for it. And, you know, I'm nourishing him, and he's got the energy, he's got the focus, he's got great brain health, bone density, skin. And when he has eczema, when it does flare up, I'm like, okay, rather than take the doctors to give him, prescribe him with steroids and or put steroid creams or whatever chemical, this and that, what foods can we investigate to the reasons or the cause of this? What environmental factors contribute to his skin, you know? And of course you go by with what the doctor or the nurse recommends, but you don't just rely on the end result. You kind of, you know, get to the root of it, right? You don't just cover it up. You get to the root of it and try to give your child the best, but you want the best results. So you don't just go for the chemicals. Like, I don't think I'm making much sense. Basically, treat yourself better. I'm learning to treat myself better. Treat yourself how you treat your own children. Give the goodness to yourself that you would give the goodness to your children. Give the goodness to yourself that you would give to your best friend. When your best friend comes to stay, you give them the best towels. You make sure that your environment is nice. You make sure that they're comfortable. You know, you feed them with good food. You show off your little skills. And if you haven't got the cooking skills, you order the good food in. I'm not talking about fast food. You get their favourites. And if their favourite is pizza, you know, it's just that one meal, and you that one meal, and it's not every day, but it's like the one-off meals. Or you make sure you cook something proper nice. Do that for yourself. I'm doing that for myself. Bought myself flowers, and rather than just go for the cheap bunch just to brighten up the kitchen, I was like, no, I like this bunch of flowers, and I'm gonna get creative, and I'm gonna combine it with this bunch of flowers. And on my table, it's just, I'm reminded with this beautiful bouquet that I've bought myself, and I'm grateful to have the money to be able to do that. But it's not even just about the money. I've got roses growing at the bottom of my garden. I can cut some roses and put that on the table, and know that I've cultivated that. I've watered those roses, and now it's on my table. Or I've watered those lavenders, the lavender, and now it's on my table and it smells beautiful. Or I scatter it around in my furniture, like in between my sofa, and the sofa smells nice, and it also keeps away. Let's be real here. I live in a home with a garden. Sometimes, you know, the mice will come in, you know. Don't get twisted, this is real life. The mice will come in and it repels them. And I'm not about killing the mice, but I don't want them in my place spreading next level. I heard they spread salmonella and all that. So, like, I'm on a mad cleaning thing right now. And I'm grateful for them because it's a reminder. I need to keep my place clean. And it's actually a joy to clean. I put my music on or my podcast. And when the kids are asleep, you know, I clean bit by bit. But obviously, it can be a bit overwhelming when everywhere is a mess. If I've got the time, well, I find the time. And anyway, that's another thing, like the joy of cleaning. Treat yourself like your own best friend. Wear the nice pajamas. Wear the nice satin, the little teddy to sleep. Not for your man, but for yourself, because it makes you feel good. Go get your nails done. Reminder to myself, note to self, I need to get my feet done because I've got some dry back foot. It's summer. I'm about to have my feet out. And, you know, why not? Zen is asleep right now. My baby, he's asleep right now. I could be at a nail place getting my feet done right now. You know, on the days where, well, most days I'm at home alone. With the children, well, Logan's at school, but I can schedule in time whilst my partner's at work to have someone to look after my baby for an hour for me to then to go out to get my toes done, or I go for a walk whilst this, I could potentially go out for a walk right now because he's asleep. Or even when he's awake, the joy of just going out with him. But I'm saying that me time. Yeah, and I look forward to being in the present, but I also look forward to when he's a little bit older, trusting him in the creche at the gym so I can then go to the gym for an hour, and he's getting that those people social skills with other babies, with other trusted adults. They're so lovely at the gym, so lovely. More gyms need to have a creche. I'm not quite ready for him to go into a creche yet, but I know that is available to me, and I'm so grateful again to have the finances to be able to go to a gym that has a creche. And I have these options in life to call up a friend or call up a family member to just be with my kids, so I can have that me time. And motherhood isn't just about being at home with the children. You still are you. You still need to do the things that, you know, make you happy, such as get your nails done. And I was, you know, I'm looking at these. I had a meeting last week, and this lady, she has beautiful nails, and I'm actually attracted to beautiful nails. When I see posts on Instagram, I'm like, oh wow, her nails look really good. That's a note to myself that I need to do that for myself, and that's what I used to do. And why aren't I doing that now, please? I need to find time, I need to carve out time. I need to treat myself like my own best friend. Clothes don't fit, buy some new clothes. And then once I get to my goal, donate those old clothes, sell those old clothes. And the clothes that I'm buying, I'm not being wasteful with my money or the, you know, this is the sustainability aspect of it. I'm not buying fast fashion. I'm literally buying things on vintage, thrifted. Sometimes they're brand new with tags, sometimes they're used, but in very good condition. And it's summer. I want to dress and feel good right now, the size I am now. So rather than buy clothes that are expensive or throwaway fashion, I bought clothes that I've seen on vintage that I proper like. They're really nice. Nice little summer dresses, maxi dresses that I'm going to use when we go on holiday. And, you know, in a couple of months, like, my goal is to work with the healthcare specialist to, you know, get in better health and better shape. Therefore, those clothes won't fit me in 6 months time, but there's adaptations I could do, such as wear a belt, you know, cut it, customize it, you know. These are sort of the clothes that I've chosen are the sort of clothes that I can wear when I am fitter and healthier and drop a dress size or two. I can customize it by darting them, you know, going to a seamstress or wearing a belt. However, I also am aware of, you know, the gift of giving. I can give my clothes away, not hoard the stuff, and I can also sell the stuff and use the money for something good, another treat for myself or treat my children or whatever, more money in the pot. So going back to feeling good about myself, treating myself like my own best friend, I'm buying these lovely dresses on Vinted. Well, I don't feel guilty about spending, and I am worthy of buying something nice for myself. And when I say guilty about spending, I don't want to be, you know, going crazy spending on material things when I actually enjoy and see the importance of spending money on things that nourish your body, nourish your mind, nourish your soul. Books, experiences, food, rather than wasting it on shoes, bags, dresses. I enjoy shoes, bags and dresses, but I don't believe right now, personally, I'm not about to spend a bag on a bag. I'd rather use that bag, as in the money, to, like I said, nourish my mind, body and soul. I still want to look good, and looking good doesn't mean you have to spend lots of money. I can go off on a tangent right now. So I do enjoy browsing Vinted, and it's thanks to my best friend that's actually put me onto it. But I'm very grateful because I found some beautiful things for the children. I found some beautiful gifts on there as well. And it's nice to know that I'm sticking to the whole sustainability gang and helping someone else out. And and it's, you know, the things that I'm buying are getting a second life or third life. I don't know how many times it's been on Vinted. It's just like recycling over and over. And also that I'm giving back as well. I'm giving the person the money, but I'm also giving back, as in the old clothes that I no longer need, I'm putting it back on Vinted. And also Depop as well, but it's mainly Vinted at the moment. I don't know. So treating myself like my own best friend. And yeah, what does that look like right now? So it's soon I'm going to collect my 5-year-old. So treating myself like my own best friend, I will tell my best friend, you don't have to rush, you know, look nice, put on some music, put on your favorite perfume, stick to your guns, as they say about the whole discipline, because my son had squeezed that little girl's hand and hurt her, we've said that he's not getting any treats after school, which looks like ice cream or go to the park or go to the cafe. He's coming straight back home where he can do things that are calm and mindful, so he can think about his actions and we can talk through things and actually have conversations. It's actually really nice, and he could do what he likes within, obviously he could do what he likes, but not the things that I know he really, really likes, such as he's not allowed to do any gaming, he's not allowed to be on his tablet unless it's a maths activity or a literature activity. And we're very careful not to treat it like that's a punishment. So the other day my partner was like, oh, you're not allowed to read books. I was like, no, he is allowed to read books. I said it quietly because I didn't want to undermine him as well. Yes, you are allowed to read books, but only 3 and that's it. And it's like, I didn't want our son to then see reading and doing other things other than what he's into right now as a punishment, because they are still very good things and very good habits to do. So he loves reading, and I don't want it to be a punishment or go to bed like that's a punishment. No, you actually need to go to bed at the right time. So I was saying that, going back to sticking to my guns, stress-free, I can set it clear to him, you're not having ice cream, and we're going to go straight home, and we're going to listen to some music, and we're going to talk about your day. You know, it's stress-free when it's done like that, rather than him screaming this and that, he wants that, and, you know, actually explain to him, this is the reason why. So, I don't want to be stressed, and I don't want him to be stressed, therefore, that is treating myself like my own best friend. Like, we don't want a stressful life, okay? We're gonna look nice, we're gonna collect him, we're gonna get the baby ready in time so you're not rushing, and we're gonna feel good, and it's gonna be nice and smooth. And then when we come back, the music that we're listening to is positive vibrations that the family can enjoy. We just got into the whole HelloFresh thing, so I'm gonna cook that when the children are like chilled, and it's gonna be a lovely evening, and we're going to sit at the table. And when it comes to my own bedtime, I'm not gonna stay up late. Instead, I'm gonna watch something that I really enjoy. I'm not gonna do any admin. I'm not gonna worry myself about the washing's not done, or I'm not being productive enough with actual work that I've set myself to do, such as some writing. I'm not gonna stress about that. I'm just gonna enjoy it when the children go to sleep. And when the baby chooses to go to sleep or whatever time, I'm going to fill it with relaxation things. I'm going to have a nice scrub with my scrub that I haven't even opened yet. I'm gonna oil my body. I'm gonna put on my nice nightwear and my nice robe, and I'm gonna sit with a nice cup of tea with my nice cup and chill. That is treating yourself like your own best friend, and I'm gonna wake up feeling amazing. I'm sleep deprived, but I'm gonna feel amazing. Treating myself like my own best friend. A nice fluffy towel. Yes. So that is the energy that I'm gonna have today. And I'm gonna try to do it every day. And it's the energy that I want you to have today and always. Treat yourself like your own best friend. You have a second chance. Well, you have another chance to live another day. So why not live it to the max, to the fullest? As cheesy and cliche as that is, it's the truth. When you think about how long that we're actually here for, why not just fill it with the good stuff? And we go through hard times, we go through struggles, but don't sit there in the emotions. Feel the emotions, but don't sit in that negative emotions. You have the control to change your mindset, to change the direction with where you want your day to go. We've lost loved ones. We've had health scares. Someone said something that's upset us, or we've done something to hurt somebody or ourselves. But we can move on from that and turn a negative into a positive. Take responsibility. Take accountability for our actions. Learn from them. Listen to each other. Be the love. You'll receive the love. And that's all I'm going to say. I mean, walk in that, whatever energy you possess or you want to possess. I'm walking in my divine feminine energy. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that. I'm going with the flow of the divine feminine energy. I am joy. And I'm living the best life. I have my goals and my ambitions. And lots of things are coming to fruition because it's the season. And I'm not getting impatient. I'm learning not to be impatient, but to be grateful for the things I have now. Because what I have now is what I have been praying for. And I have received. And I'm receiving. And may the joy of the day be with you. And all the love and the peace. You are your own best friend. Remember this. I hope I've made you smile today. And I hope I haven't rambled too much. And I don't know how to end this. Thank you for listening. And yeah. Besos. Hello, hello. And welcome to the Alicia Show. Thanks again for tuning in. And just thanks for following. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for contacting me. And just, I am overwhelmed with gratitude. I thank God every day for life and for supporters in my life that just want to see me win. Do you know what I'm saying? It's nice. So thank you. And, you know, I've always said, no matter if it's one person, I'm not even going to use the word just one person, because one person is a lot. Like a one person to want to listen to me, to choose to tune in, to choose to yeah, just be part of my thing. It means a lot, so thank you. And even though I've started again with this podcast, and who knows where it'll take me, I feel like, you know, in this part of my life, you know, being now a mama too, you know, experimenting with different things, and just life is about change and exploring and adventure. And I feel like I start things and I stop things because, you know, maybe I get bored or I just want to try new things. I started this podcast, I think, 2 years ago, and I've picked it up again because I enjoy it. And life was lifing, and I just didn't do it for a long time. And now I'm back on it again, and I want to be consistent. I choose to be consistent. And With consistency comes success, whatever success means to you. But what success means to me in regards to this podcast is, and I guess you can apply it to most things, with consistency comes, say, popularity. With consistency comes the discipline in order to get things up and running. And with consistency in regards to podcasting, social media, whatever, means more people are listening. You'll have more followers, you have more shares, your voice is amplified even more because you have a greater reach with the consistency, because the amount of people listening. Now, because I've picked this up again, yes, it's slow, and I can see that the plays on my podcast are low at the moment, but it's not deterring me from doing this, because that one person listening, 10 people listening, or however amount, what is considered low, these people have tuned in and have chosen to listen. And if you are listening right now, I thank you. Thank you for being part of my thing. Thank you for believing me. Thank you for supporting me. And it's amazing. It does feel good. I do want to get to a place where I have more reach, because I feel I have things to say, and I'm about spreading positivity. And, you know, if I can reach lots of people with positivity, that's a win for me. It's a win anyway, because you're listening. I thank you. So I don't know how many times I'm going to say thank you, but there's no amount of, it's unlimited amount of times you can say thank you. Do you know what I'm saying? But I hope I'm not annoying you the amount of times I'm saying thank you. So how are you? How are you today? Isn't that a question that gets asked? And how many times do you actually answer that honestly? Obviously, you can't answer me. I can't hear your response. But I do hope you are well. And I'm genuinely asking you that, for you to respond to yourself and reflect on how you are feeling. How are you? Isn't it so nice when a person genuinely asks that and actually wants to listen to your response, and, you know, you feel comfortable to share that, and then on the receiving end of the news, you are honoured to have shared something that to the person is special, or they've opened up to you, they've chosen you to be the one to delve deep into actually how they are feeling. And we, you know, we are blessed to have people like that in our lives who care about us and how we are doing, and how the family are doing, how the children. And yeah, we do live in a beautiful world, despite, you know, what's been pumped out in the media, what's been pumped out on socials, or, you know, the everyday dramas that people present. We do live in a beautiful world, and it's about surrounding yourself with that positivity, with that love, and being that for yourself and presenting that to the world for others as well, to see that there is hope. There is, you know, yeah, there is hope in humanity. You know, there is love there. We are faced with adversity, you know, in my case, navigating the world as a black woman, I'm faced with adversity every day. You know, and I did want to talk about that today. Well, I'm going to talk about just entitlement. I go by how I'm feeling. So what do you call this? Like intuitive podcasting? Like you have intuitive eating, you just go with how you feel. But I guess I talk about what resonates with me at the moment. And my eyes are open to new things as I'm now a mother of two. I have a 4-month and a five-year-old. And, you know, showing up in new spaces such as school, new friendship groups that my son has formed, my five-year-old has formed, you know, the dynamic of the different cliques that I've noticed in school or in the playground or, you know, at his extracurricular activities, do you know what I'm saying? Like, the type of people that live in this area. And I live in a very nice part of London. And, yeah, sometimes I feel like imposter syndrome. I do deserve to be here and I do feel that. But I do feel like I'm where I've always wanted to be in life, somewhere that's safe, beautiful, with a beautiful community, a strong sense of community, and, you know, a place where you don't stand out for being different. And when I say that, I mean, I do like to see other black people. I do like to see other mixed race children, black children. I do like to see people of colour. I do like to see Asian people. Basically, I do like to see diversity, able-bodied people, people with disabilities. In the world, we just get along. And you maybe say, oh, listen, that's dream world. No, it's a world that I love and I respect people. I believe in one love, you know. And it's just those narrow-minded people that just spoil it. And, yeah, I'm faced with adversity when people look at me and think perhaps that they're better than because of my skin colour. Or because I am a woman, or, you know, the amount of, I've never been, obviously I know I'm a black woman, and I'm very, I was brought up in a household proud to be West Indian, proud to be who you are, and to navigate spaces no matter what you face, no matter if they don't want you there. To be black is who I am, and to be West Indian and to have my culture and traditions and the way I look, something to be proud of and to elevate, and just to be who I am and to walk with confidence is something that has been instilled in me. So I would go to art spaces and still, you know, I'd be maybe one of five black people in the room or one of five people of colour, say. But it doesn't put me off from wanting to be there. It's just the attitude towards me sometimes haven't been well received because in their mind, I don't belong or I shouldn't be there. But it's never stopped me from doing what I want to do. If I want to go see a performance, a big example would be, you know, going to an opera. Like, my mum was part of an opera group, you know, and she was like the only black woman. And I was the only, you know, part of the ensemble. I was the only black dancer, black young singer. But it just never stopped us. And, you know, we were welcomed. We all got along. But, you know, when you go to an opera, you don't really see many black people. If you go to you'll see, right? You know, this is my truth. And what I appreciate is just to be heard and to be taken seriously and not have people respond with, are you sure it's not on your head? That's like the worst thing, one of the worst things you could say to a black person, a black woman especially, is sure it's not in your head. Of course it's not my head. This is my reality. Respect it. This is facts for me. And it's just because it's not your reality or you don't see it,
you know, if this is how I'm saying, and many black women can say this as well, like, you know, you walk into spaces, you are the only one, and it's, you know, not in our head. And it's just how you then, I don't know, how you sit with it, you know. For me, it doesn't put me off. I go because I want to go. I take part because I want to take part. And, you know, and it's a shame that these spaces don't represent us. They don't want to represent us in perhaps the leading roles or the headlining, you know, in the culture, you know. Things are starting to change for the better, you know, more diversity and more representation and inclusion. That's great. And it does then shout out to young people in particular that, you know, if you see me on stage, you can do it too. If you see my artwork, if you see my writings, then you can do it too. It's for those people perhaps that didn't grow up in a household where confidence was instilled in them, to be proud of who you are and to navigate whatever space you want because you want to, not because, you know, you don't be put off because of the colour of your skin or how people receive you. If you deserve to be in these spaces, you deserve to be who you want to be and go where you want to be. And those opinions of others should not affect what you want to do in life. People should not have that power to hold you down. And yeah, I feel lucky, blessed to have had parents that just put that confidence in us to succeed and enjoy life and, you know, just go for it. But as I was saying before, like, my eyes are open to new things. Being in a very, let's say, a gentrified place where I'm aware that black people have been pushed out, not to feel welcome. This part of London, I feel warm, I feel welcomed, I feel like it's very family. However, there are some narrow-minded people that I feel have that mentality of, I shouldn't be here because this is like the new space. This is the gentrification land. This is only for white middle-class people, and where I don't fit the mold, you shouldn't be here. And not only am I noticing it in my world, I guess, you know, I'll give some examples in a minute, but I'm also noticing it when I see other black women faced with the same dilemma. So, for example, this lady was driving her car and she was head on with, she was at a standstill with this guy on the bike. The guy on the bike was a white man in his late 30s, early 40s, on his way to work, very trendy, hipster looking, and they came to a standstill in the middle of the road, and he just was not budging. He was ready for a fight, but in that British polite way, still on the bike, composed, but stern face, not moving out the way for this car. And it was automatically like something that, as a black woman, we're faced with that we don't always have to be hard. We're not always, we're not ready to fight. This stereotype or this perception that black women are hard, strong black women, we are allowed to be vulnerable and soft and not fighting, like, you know. But this is a classic example of, I feel that if the woman behind the wheel was a white woman, this standoff wouldn't happen. It was like he was testing her. It was that stereotype, well, she's a black woman, she can handle my attitude, she can move out of my way, you know, but I'm not moving. And she was a composed woman behind the wheel, kind of looked a little bit confused to why this man is just giving her the standoff in the middle of the road. And then she was like, excuse me, is everything okay? He was like, yeah, well, I'm not moving. And she said, well, I've stopped here because I'm just giving you room because I need to maneuver into this parking space right here on my right. Oh, he says, oh, sorry, I was just a little bit confused. Awkward laugh, rode off. She kind of disarmed or diffused the situation with her kindness, her composure, and made him look like such an idiot for this standoff, which was for no reason, but he was ready to fight. And she was just maneuvering her car in order to reverse into the open space, the big open space on the right in between two cars. But he saw it as a standoff, an initial standoff. And I just laughed at myself, thinking, if that was a white woman or another white man, sure, that would not have happened. It's just this whole... If you're listening to this thinking, oh, typical, you know, the race card or the black card or whatever, this is our reality. This is my reality, okay? This is what black women are faced with. This ready to fight, this ready to, the standoff nature, this, it's like, if I'm to assert myself, speak up about something, then I'm seen as aggressive. She has a chip on her shoulder. Like, I wonder if her composure was to make him feel comfortable in a situation. I wonder if he expected her to kick off and be that stereotype, da, 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 da. Or if she was just to react in a normal way, which she did, or a normal way of asserting herself, would she also then be seen as aggressive because she stood up to him and she let him know exactly what she's trying to do? You know, he's saying, oh, I was just confused. No apology or anything. He just rode off. I find it really funny. Another thing today that I experienced was I'm in a queue, just like everyone else, waiting for food. A white man's behind me, and he's getting impatient. And when he like, it was serving food, people were serving us food, and before the person served me, he had to make it known that he wanted that dish. Therefore, he was going to be served first. And the person serving didn't see me or eat. Like, it was like I was invisible. Served him first. So he got what he wanted, the fact that he wasn't in front of me. He got what he wanted, as in someone to acknowledge and serve him, even though he was behind me. And then within the same 10 minutes, I'm walking through to find a seat, and I felt invisible. I've got my son's book bag, I've got my bag, I've got his little umbrella poking out my bag. He's holding on to my gilet. You know, he doesn't really want to be there. He wants to go home, but, you know, I want to eat. The baby's at home with my partner, and this is like my little space to be with my 5-year-old, but more for me, I really just wanted to enjoy the food, yeah, at this place. And you know, I'm trying to get to an empty seat, and there's these women that were just talking over, you know, between the seats, and they were queuing up to get like face painting. The children were queuing up to get face painting. So there was like a group of little kids, like 9, 10-year-olds, chilling out, you know, waiting to get their face paint. And then their mums or whatever were nearby. One is sat down, one is up, or a few are up, whatever. But they were just, they were talking in the way of the walkway to get to the tables, if that makes sense. I don't know how many times have I had to say, excuse me, please, excuse me, sorry, excuse me. And I'm being polite. I'm polite anyway. I have my child there. I'm extra polite with my child. But it's like, why do I have to be extra polite in times like this where they're in my way? They can't see me. Do I have to be extra loud? It's like they see right through me. So I'm not about to barge anyone out of the way. That's just not me. That's rude. That's straight up rude. But do you not see me? I've just described the million bags on me and the child hanging off me. Furthermore, I'm holding 2 plates of food and a cup of a drink. us mums. Yeah, they're just not moving out of my way. Oh, they finally see me, and in that time, the woman that sat down, she has not moved. She has not moved her foot. She is still talking. They're still talking over the alley, the walkway. The little girl, she moves a little bit out of the way, but clearly she just wants to get her face paint, so she doesn't want to lose her spot, so she just moves a little bit. Enough for me to get by. But the parents, they're not moving, so what are you teaching your children? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, I'm invisible. I proceed to walk. I don't see the woman's foot. I trample on her foot. And then I trample back on it again. I didn't do it on purpose. Trust me, I promise. But that's what happens when you don't move. So does that look like I'm now aggressive? I turned round and she looked a little bit scared when I turned round. I was like, oh, sorry. And she's like, oh, it's okay. But low key, you know, she's cussing. She's cussing me underneath her breath. But then she's also a bit into, she looked like she was a little bit scared of me when I turned around suddenly, because, oh my gosh, you know when you feel something under your foot? But I don't know what reaction she was expecting, but you see me now, yeah? I walked. You didn't see me, but you felt my foot. You know, there's a saying, if you not see, you must feel. That's what happened. Anyway, that's just an example of being invisible and the whole entitlement, like that they had the right to be there because they're talking and I'm interrupting their talk. You know, I'm disturbing the talk, the conversation, by wanting to get through to sit down. Like I didn't deserve to be sat at the table. That's what it felt like. That was what it was. Another example was, you know, I'm sat down and I move some books out of the way for another person to sit down, but she chooses not to sit in that seat, but to sit in the seat after the seat that I moved the books from, therefore not wanting to sit next to me. I found that a bit odd. And it could be because of my skin colour. It could not have been. It might not have been. It might have been. But I really think it was. The way she looked at me, like, she'd rather sit closer to, you know, people that look like her, as in, you know, the other middle-class white women. So my eyes are opened to that. That's a different culture. It's a different, it's a different way of life when you see, like, the different mothers, you know, and how they navigate towards each other, or how, without realizing, are showing that entitlement, that kind of that separation, you know. It's like them and me. a lot of the time. But I've made lovely mum friends who aren't black, you know, and who listen to what I say or are consciously making the effort to, you know, mix with other cultures and then teach that to their children and, you know, are curious about, you know, my culture, you know, and are open to, and, you know, I'm the same as well. So there's good parts and then there's bad parts about, well, points about being in a world that is, you know, heavily gentrified and middle class, and navigating new spaces as a mum because I'm forced to be around new groups of people who perhaps haven't had the opportunity to mix with people from outside of their own cultures and traditions and so on and so forth. So yeah, it's just something that's just been on my mind. I mean, that happened today. You know, I'm yet to experience the whole, am I his nanny? Am I my son's nanny? I had that a lot with Logan when I was pushing him around, when I was new here. I've yet to experience that. I do get looks, but nobody has asked me that yet. I'm waiting for that. I'm prepared for that, shall I say. But I have with my son, you know, he has had questions because, you know, in school, I think the percentage is like 1% black women, black children at this school. However, this school is very warm and welcoming and loving, and they do seem to have lots of representation within the curriculum and within the environment at the school. So I am happy with him at school. But he has come back with questions to do with race that I thought I would be prepared for, but I haven't been prepared for. And that will be on another episode and on another podcast, because I would like to delve deep into that and perhaps talk to or have guests on the show to talk about this, because my experience as a black woman, as a black person, is different from my children's experience as a mixed race person, and a mixed race boy, being, you know, he's a boy, he's different. Yeah, so that's something to talk about, because from what I hear, it's very common, you know, and I have family members who are black who have experienced that for themselves, and I have friends who are black and have black children who have experienced that. But when it's your own child and he is mixed race, it's like I felt like it was a bit of a struggle to, one, understand my own feelings towards it, but two, actually, no, one, it's his, understand his feelings towards it, and two, my response to that and how do I feel about that, and just not being prepared for his reactions to things. But I'm glad that it was a moment that hasn't affected him throughout the time after that. It was a curious, it was a time of, you know, he was just very inquisitive and curious and asking me questions, but it didn't seem to have affected him forming friendships or just carrying on and being happy. It was something that it was something for him to make sense of and for me to make sense of. And yeah, it's that is what happens when I feel, you know, he's grown up in a part of London that isn't as diverse as I thought it was, and he doesn't really see many people that look like him in his environment at school. So he has all these questions, and, you know, I'm the only black mum in his class. I'm the only black mum out of the mums that turn up in his year group. Sorry, there's one other black lady who's my friend. Yeah, and it's just the two of us. But he's happy at school and he's happy in his environment and he's made friends. It's that question, which is a big question. And it's a big deal that I need to, well, you know, I handled it, you know. And I am handling it because it's something that keeps on reoccurring. But yeah, it's that's for another podcast. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to summarize or what is the main thing with this. I think it's just things that happen. I think this podcast is mainly to do with motherhood and what I experience and talk about things that is on my mind. And that has been on my mind a lot, this whole sense of entitlement, because I live in this place that is heavily gentrified, full of people that are just like so not used to like mixing and so not used to other cultures, and the expectation of a black woman to be aggressive, assertive, to make ourselves small, you know, to not be seen. We are invisible. And this was a prime examples of that in just one day, within a few weeks. Like every day I'm faced with something. Most days, not every day, most days I'm faced with something. And this today was just like, okay, can you not see me? Like, this is a classic example of me being unseen. I am invisible. Move out of my way, woman. And yeah. Have you experienced this, or have you even noticed that? Like, this is an open question to all women. Have you noticed that in you know, you know, your friends who are black, or if you are a black woman, do you experience this, and are you faced with this? Do you feel like the whole imposter syndrome because of where you live? If you live in a really nice area, or you enter spaces where it's just like you are the only one, how do you feel? Because like I said, I was brought up to be confident in any space that I enter, and to feel, yeah, make yourself feel welcome, which is what I'm saying. But I haven't been prepared to be in this sort of world. Anyway, I'm talking to myself and I can hear somebody at the door. So I'm going to leave this here. My children are asleep. Oh my gosh, I've been talking for 34 minutes. So I'm going to leave this here. Thank you for listening. And I hope your day is full of joy. I hope your week is filled with joy. And yeah. Thanks again. Don't forget to share. And yeah, DM me any questions or any topics that you want me to cover. And that's all. So stay safe, stay happy, spread the love, be the joy, be the love. And until next time, besos. Mwah. Thanks for listening.